ministry. You know, some people say, well, why do we got so many needs at home? What, we're supposed to do both. Because Jesus didn't say, go into all Jerusalem and preach the gospel. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we're supposed to go in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. So we want to do our part in that. And I don't want to stand before Jesus someday and him say, how come you never got out of Batesville? Wouldn't that be terrible? How come you never got out of the United States? How come you didn't do what I said? So I think if every church would do a part, that a great need would be met throughout the world. We can't do it all, can we? We can't go everywhere. You know, we've been to Africa. We've been to India. We've been to Belize. We've been to Honduras. I hadn't been to all those places, but we've done missions in all of those places. But we just can't go everywhere. But God lays on other people's hearts places to go and missions to support. So I think the body of Christ will meet that need. We'll fulfill the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Want to give you a heads up. Easter, we'll be doing three services, 8:30, 10, and 11:30 will be our service times. We'll change the service time so we can get three services in. And we're going to be doing a series based on the movie Risen. Has anybody gone to see Risen yet? Kathy and I went Friday to see Risen. It's here in the local theaters. It's a true story with fiction brought into it. In fact, it's from the standpoint of a Roman, I don't know what he is. I forgot what he worked with Pilate, and he was his right hand man, and how that he encountered Jesus Christ, and it's factual. It doesn't veer off the Bible, but it has fiction in it, and we're going to be using that during the Easter season. So you know, a good thing to do is begin to get people to go to that movie. Some of the people maybe that you're working on to bring Easter Sunday, offer to take them to that movie. Go see that movie and then tell them that, hey, we're doing a series based off of that movie during the Easter season. So I'm excited about that. And Easter is going to be a great time. Does anybody believe that? All right. Okay. I believe you believe it. We're going to continue today our series that we started last week. We'll conclude it next week, I hope, and because we got to start the Easter series. But we are in Lent, and I hope that you are doing some kind of Lent Bible reading. I'm doing my regular Bible reading, and also I'm doing a Lent called Journey Through Lent on the YouVersion of the Bible app. It's a 47-day reading program. It doesn't take 2 minutes. It's got some scripture, and it has a daily devotion, and it challenges you to look at yourself and to examine yourself and to we just always need to improve our relationship with the Lord, and not that we're not saved, because we're saved. That's not the issue. The issue is, how is our daily walk with God? Are we communing with Him? Are we hearing Him commune with us? And that's what we need to work on, that daily interaction. Not just that we have a relationship with the Lord, but a daily relationship, a daily communion with Him. And so that's so important. So that Lent is a time that we can refocus where those things are concerned. This series we're doing is called The Dirty Truth. The Dirty Truth. And last week we looked in Genesis and we saw how that God brought creation into being, how that He spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light, and it was a progressive thing that He did. But one of the things that we looked at, and I'm going to begin in verse 9. This is day three, maybe. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the seas, of the waters, he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So one of the things that God did is he brought into creation over several days here, and he exposed the earth. Now, the earth was already there. The ground was already there, but it was covered in water. But he brought it forth, and he commanded it to bring forth, to bear fruit, to bear fruit. We call this the Genesis principle. And there are so many things that line up with this. A lot of times, a natural principle reflects a spiritual principle. And it's true where this is concerned. This is the atmosphere that God brought Adam into. And he told him to have dominion over the earth, to take care of the garden. He told him to do two things. He says, you dress it. What does that mean? You pick the fruit, you plant the seed, you take care of it, you partake of it, and you keep it, you guard it. He knew that there was evidently, the idea was that there it was an intruder out there. So he had to take care of it. His stewardship was, you don't own it, but you get to take care of it. You get to eat its fruit. It will produce for you. It's designed to produce for you. And all I want you to do is to take care of it and to guard it. That's your job. That's your stewardship. I only have one requirement. There's only one thing that you can't partake of. Okay? So this is the thing that Adam was brought into. A situation that by design, the earth was designed to meet all of his needs. Now, there's a reflection here because we're going to see something in a minute. There is a parallel here because Jesus, and we're going to get to this verse later, Jesus in Mark 4 talked about the sower sowing the seed on the ground, and he equated it to men's hearts. Okay? So there's a parallel here that Jesus brought into focus, and it kind of reflects back on this, that different kinds of ground affects the produce of the seed. Now, in Genesis, before the fall, it was rich, it was good ground, it was designed to bring forth, it was designed to produce and meet every need that man might have. But when Jesus did the parable, talking about men's hearts and soil, he dealt with four kinds of soil. Only one of those was good soil. One was hard, one was stony, one was thorny, that represents different kinds of things. And these are reflections of men's hearts. And so we see that God put man in Genesis 1 and 2 and 3 into this situation where what was happening on the inside of him matched what was happening on the outside of him. And there's another principle here. Your life is reflected by the condition of your heart. Are you listening to me now? This is what we're trying to learn. This is what we're trying to realize. This is what I want us to think about. This is what I want you to put this in your pipe and smoke it, okay? Meditate on it. Think about it. So your outside world, by and large, is reflected by what's on the inside of you. There's several things that Jesus said that shows us this, and we'll get into that. But we see in Genesis 3 that Adam and Eve, we know about the fall, don't we? So that the serpent comes into the garden, that he is the intruder, okay? He is the one who is the intruder, and he brings a challenge to Eve and then to Adam. And what he said, he questioned certain things. And he got them to eat of that which was forbidden, where they, so they disobeyed God. And God dealt with them individually. He dealt with the woman. He dealt with the serpent. And then he said to Adam in Genesis 3:17. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife. This is one time that he should not have listened to his wife. Sometimes it's smart, guys, to listen to your wife, okay? Ladies, can I get amen? Okay. You missed a good chance, okay? But this was not a good time for him to listen to what his wife said, okay? Now, he's responsible because he's standing there watching. Because you heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for the dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Listen, there was a change that took place in Adam's heart, and it's reflected in the change that took place in the ground that was supposed to bring forth for him. Okay? So what are we seeing here? We're seeing there is a parallel between the natural and the spiritual. We're seeing that there's a parallel in your atmosphere when your heart changes. That's good or that's bad. There's always an atmosphere. Your life is reflected by what's in your heart. If good things are in your heart, it'll bring good things in your life. If evil things are in your heart, then it will bring forth evil things. Whatever is sown in the ground is what the ground will produce. Whether it's good, whether it's blessed, whether it's bad, or whether it's cursed, that ground will bring forth that fruit. So this is a responsibility that we have. Remember, what did God tell Adam? What's your responsibility with the earth? To take care of it. To cultivate it. And to guard it. That is also true where our hearts are concerned. See, when you come to Jesus Christ, you no longer belong to yourself. Your spirit is His, your mind, your will, your emotions are His, and your body is His. You have the responsibility before God to cultivate your heart, to take care of your heart, and also to guard your heart. And we're going to get into that the next 2 weeks. We're going to get into that. We're going to get into some of it today. But I wanted to lay this out so that we can see. Now, he goes on in verse 22 of Genesis 3. Then the Lord said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man and he placed a cherubim at the east of the garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned away every way to guard the way of the tree of life. So here we see is a separation. He is separated from the place that was designed for him to produce. And he goes into a place where it's going to be a struggle. He's going into a place where there'll be thorns and things that he has to contend with. Because he is not in right relationship with God. Okay? So we see a separation between him and God. And when we are separated from God, our heart will not produce the way that it was designed to produce. We're alienated from the provision. We're alienated. Our hearts are alienated from God. No longer does it produce the way that it was designed. See, your heart is designed to produce the Word of God. Your heart is designed to bring forth the things of the Word of God. That's why, again, that we have you reading your Bibles. Because you're sowing things into your heart, and whatever you sow into your heart is what's going to come out of you. Okay? It's not magic. See, this is one thing about Christianity. You know, in Christianity, you know, and we've seen some of this, where people get all excited and, you know, they're thinking, you know, I need to be set free and I need to be prosperous and I need this and what I need to do. I go up front and they lay hands on me, I fall on the floor, get up, and everything's okay. Or if I just give this one-time seed, you know, this special offering, this one-time seed, then all of my financial woes will be met. That's not the kingdom. The kingdom is based on seed time and harvest. It's based on sowing and reaping. You go right back to Genesis and you see the Genesis principle right there. The Genesis principle is that you got to have seed in the ground if you're going to have a harvest. And we constantly need to keep seed in the ground, the seed of our hearts, so that it will continue to bring forth an eternal harvest in us that will spring up not only to everlasting life, but will spring up to blessing and will be a blessing to everybody that we're around. It changes you from the inside to the outside. Well, Adam was alienated from all of that. What did Jesus come to do? He came to reunite us with God and to do a work in our spirits. And then Romans 12 tells us to not be, as Christians, to not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Now, what's he talking about? By the renewing of your minds or heart. What is the heart? The heart is the mind, the thought processes, the mind, the emotions, and the will. See, there's a lot of times that if the devil can get you emotional about something, if he can appeal to desire, he can trick you. That's what happened to Eve. When she saw the tree that she wasn't supposed to eat of, she saw that it was desirable. What did he appeal to? He appealed to her heart. And this is where the enemy appeals to us many times. He appeals to our desires, our lust, where things are concerned. He appeals to that, and many times he deceives us and tricks us, and then we're not producing like we should produce. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to take care of our heart. And we're supposed to guard our hearts. We're supposed to see that our hearts are fruitful. We partake of that fruit. We continue to sow the seed in that good ground of the heart so that it'll continue to bring forth a harvest. We always need to have seed in the ground. You always need to have seed in the ground. You'll have a continuous harvest in your life if you'll keep seed in the ground. Does it work overnight? Nope. Does it take time? Yes. How long is it going to take? All your life? I mean, we're almost to planting time. But you know what? You don't go out and plant a seed in the ground and go out the next day and see fruit. I love a picture that I saw years ago. This guy plants a seed and it shows him going out and he's digging it up. Why isn't that producing? Because he don't leave it in the ground. He doesn't give it time to produce. He thinks that it's some kind of magic bean or something. It's not a magic bean. It's a way of life. It's a way that we live. It's line upon line. It's precept upon precept. It's here a little. It's there a little. But it's constantly sowing into the ground of our heart. This is good. Mark 4. Jesus explains the parable. The sower sows the word, and those are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Why does he do that? Because if that seed lies there long enough, it will find a crack in that hard ground, and it will start to produce. There's nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing wrong with the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with God's promises. Where does the problem lie? Take your two hands and do that. That's where it lies. There's not a God problem. There's a David problem. There's a Tammy problem. There's a problem with self. I don't know, but I'm my biggest problem. How about you? I'm my biggest problem. Sometimes I look around people and, you know, sometimes, you know, people bug you. But they're not my biggest problem. My biggest problem, I touch right on the end of the nose. It's the guy I look at every morning when I look in the mirror. That's the guy that gives me more trouble in any way. Anybody, anything. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. They're offended. That's the problem. They're offended. Now, these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. Depending on the goodness of the ground determines the harvest that the seed brings forth. So now we said that the heart is the soul, the mind, the will, the emotions, the thoughts, and all the feelings that we have. Now let me read scripture. I've got a bunch of scripture today. Psalms 19:14. This is David's prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Meditation. Remember we talked about meditating a few weeks ago, that word means to ruminate. That means like a cow chews its cud. It eats. It vomits it back up in its mouth. It chews it, swallows, vomits it back up, and chews it and swallows it. And I'm glad I'm not a cow. But, you know, it does that. It does that until it digests it. And this is, David says, you know what? The things that I meditate on, that I think about over and over and over and over and over and over until it becomes a part of me, let those things be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Why? Because your meditations will produce your thoughts. Your thoughts will produce your speech. Your speech will produce your action. Your action will produce your character. And your character will produce your destiny. That's why that's so important. See, we always blame God. Well, you know, that didn't happen. Just must not have been the Lord's will. It might have been that you've been thinking on the wrong stuff and you produced a crappy harvest. Could be. So meditation produces words. See, here again, the soil or the dirt, your heart, only produces the seeds that are planted. You don't plant tomatoes and get cucumbers. If you plant cucumbers, you get cucumbers. Whatever you want to produce in your life is what you need to plant in your heart. It's the Genesis principle. It's the Genesis principle. When we get born again, our spirits get recreated. And our job is, and we're able to do this, as we process and we put the word in us, it begins to change the way that we think. And so that it says that if we'll do that, we'll prove. That don't mean with the Bible. It means with your life. You'll prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You'll live it out. It'll be proven in your life what the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. That word thinks in Hebrew has an interesting connotation. It means gatekeeper. 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 What does a gatekeeper do? He is the one that says what goes in and what doesn't go in. And what does that say that the gatekeeper is? Your thoughts. Your thoughts. Can I ask you a question? Do you have control of your thoughts? Do you have the ability to choose what you think about? Do you have the ability to reject thoughts and to accept thoughts? Yes, you do. Why? Because you are a free moral agent. God has given you the ability to make choices. You can choose what you think on. You can reject wrong thoughts. Your thinking is the gatekeeper of your life. And it says, as a man gatekeeps, so is he. Whatever a man allows inside the gate is what he will become. If I allow hate in the gate, guess what I will become? Full of hate. If I allow strife inside the gate, guess what happens? I become full of strife. Well, I have a right to hate. You may. But guess what? Who does it hurt the worst? Who does it keep from being what they need to be? You will never be what you're supposed to be in the Lord if your heart is full of unforgiveness, strife, and hate. You'll never produce. Your ground of your heart will never produce the way that it's designed to do. The word that's sown in you will be choked out because your desire is negative and it will not produce in the midst of that. Remember, you got to do two things. What? Take care of your heart and guard it. You're the gatekeeper. You're the gatekeeper. See, I've dealt a lot with people with unforgiveness. And here's the thing we run into sometimes. You say, well, I just can't forgive. Can I just tell you? Forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is a choice. And if you will choose to forgive, eventually the feeling will follow. When we judge things by feelings, we get messed up. That's why we've got to have that word in us. I love the saying that I read in a book. It says, walking in unforgiveness is like drinking rat poison and waiting for the rat to die. You hurt yourself. You don't hurt the person that you hold animosity against. You hurt yourself. And when you realize that, well, I have a right. Yeah, you have a right to hurt yourself. What you're doing is you're committing spiritual suicide. And you hurt nobody but yourself. Well, that's cruel. That's true. It's the truth. You're the gatekeeper. Proverbs 4:20, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Listen to what I'm saying. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your, what's that word? Y'all looking? Heart. Heart. That's your mind, your will, your emotions, your thoughts, your feelings. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they what? My words, they're life to those who find them and health to their flesh. Can I just tell you, putting the Word of God in your heart is healthy. It is healthy. It can even bring healing to your body. See, the Bible says in Psalms, he said, he sent his Word and healed them. Healing comes through the Word. Not only spiritual, mental, emotional, many times physical healing comes through the Word. Then verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence. That's a reflection back to Genesis. Keep means to guard. What do? You guard your heart with all slackness, frivolity, diligence. For, why? Because out of it spring the issues of life. Out of it determines your life. If you don't guard your heart and it gets full of strife, guess what gushes out of your innermost being? Strife. But if you put love in there, guess what will gush out? I hear people say, oh, that is the sweetest, kindest, most loving person. You know why that is? They will not regard strife in their hearts. They will not hold unforgiveness in their hearts. Can I just tell you, people will offend you. People will offend you. It's easy to be offended. But being offended is a choice. Being offended is a choice. It's a choice that we make. I can choose. It may hurt my feelings, but I can choose how I react to that. I can choose to forgive and deal with my feelings, or I can embrace my feelings and it will fester and it will grow and it will produce poison inside of me. I'm not guarding my heart. Why? Because I'm not gatekeeping my thoughts. This is good. Wished I'd have come up with this. It's in the Bible. Listen to these verses, and we're fixing to close. Matthew 13:9. Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Why? You know why. And he said to them in Mark 4:9. He said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hearing produces thoughts. He said it the third time in Luke 8, part of the end of 8:8. He says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is in connection with the parable of the sower. Mark 4:24, two more verses. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. This is one of the benefits of hearing the word consistently. Your understanding of the word will increase. Have you ever made the statement, I just can't understand the Bible? You probably haven't spent a lot of time in it, if that's the case. Number one of two things. Either you're not spiritually alive, you've not been born again, or you're not spending any time in it. The more you're in that word, the more light will come. When you hear it, begin to do it, it brings you to another level of growth. The way that you measure it is how it's going to be measured back to you. Can I just tell you, God's not in control of your life. You are. Now, we give control to God, okay, I understand, but he gives back to us responsibility. He says, okay, if I'm going to be in control, here's what I want you to do. I want you to put my word in your heart. See, he involves us in the process. And when we become involved in the process, we begin to grow. One more verse, Luke 8:1. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has to him, more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken away. Not only does it matter what we hear, it's how we hear. Now, we can apply this to the word. We can apply this to other things also. It's how you hear something. It's how it's measured. I hear people say all the time, did you hear what he said? That just offended me. And I'm thinking, I didn't hear anything. It's how you hear something. It's how you hear something. See, you have a preconceived notion about something, and it affects how you hear something. And you'll judge intent of a person's words when you don't really know their heart. Take heed how you hear. Okay, I dumped a lot on you today, but that's all right. I'm going to dump some more on you next week. We're going to talk about offense, being offended. We're going to talk about that, dealing with offense. I want us to stand. Prayer team, if you'd come forward, we'll give a chance for those who need prayer today. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I don't give hard sell where this is concerned. You know where you are spiritually. You know what you need to do. And if God has dealt with you about coming to Christ, that's Him talking to you. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in. I'll come in and I'll commune with you." He's waiting for you to open the door. You can do that today. Any one of these can pray with you to do that. If you have other needs that you need prayed about, physical, spiritual, emotional, whatever those needs are, they'll be glad to pray with you. But I want to pray quickly for you today, and then we're going to worship. Thank you, Father, today that you have given us plainly in your word the principles of sowing and reaping and where our hearts are concerned. We want to be good stewards of what you've given us. Lord, open our hearts today that we can receive from you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come?